Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 246 of the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. This is Jill. Hi, Adam.
You were very excited about that number.
I know. I don't know what that was.
It's okay. I'm feeling it. Why not? We should celebrate arbitrary numbers. It's like 200 it's as arbitrary as 246.
That's true. So that's true.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Things are going. It's going good. It's so weird because like we have to fabricate these. How are we doing today? Even though you and I just spent half hour in a room talking about our cats and dogs and everything going on here. So it's like none of you guys know that, but peek behind the curtain. Pay no attention to the man in the corner. If you want to get a hold of us, how can they do that? Because we haven't done that lately, and I feel like we should probably remind people.
Easiest way is to go to our website, professionalbooknerds.com. There you can find all of our social links, including Twitter and Instagram, both of which are at ProBookNerds. You can also, email us, professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com.
Yes, you can. Also, guys, I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Joe has promised to use all the fun new Instagram things. We've been talking about it, so I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna put it out in the world so that make sure we actually do it. All like the cool questions and the polls and everything that you can do on Instagram.
Yeah, stories. I do it on my personal page, like my personal Instagram account. I don't know why we haven't started doing it more.
I don't know. I'm lazy with my personal one usually. Like I'll have like one Instagram story every 3 days, and it'll be my dog playing fetch. But you are much better at it than I am.
So. I remember it took me a long time to get Instagram stories. I was like, what is this?
That's right.
Why are people doing that? I don't understand. And then once I figured it out, or I think I saw people using it in really interesting ways, I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. You guys are welcome to try and find me on Instagram if you want.
Oh, yeah,
it's just pictures of my dogs. And my Instagram story literally is usually like pictures of my dogs that I didn't want to put on Instagram.
That I can confirm that part. Yeah.
That's really all it is. Yeah. I also love the more, I don't know if you ever noticed this on Instagram, but the more posts you put in a row on your Instagram story, if like you look at the amount of people who view it, it's like law of diminishing returns. It's like,
oh yeah.
I know if I post 9 short videos of my dogs playing fetch, half of you are actually going to watch the second half of those.
Oh, yeah. No, I like they just like the numbers drop off with each new like
always makes
slide
me laugh.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think of them as like PowerPoint size. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like well, Alex and I have like we have friends who are bloggers and they have a fairly large following. So I'll do the classic just like tap the button real quick to get through their whole story so that they get their numbers. But I don't have to.
I do that, too.
I don't need to watch them eat a weird sandwich on a Saturday for 17 posts. You just text them, ask them how it was. Anyway, none of that had anything to do with this episode.
Nope.
Today is the final episode. Wow, that was creepy. The final interview from PLA that I did way back in the spring. So I sat down with children's author and illustrator Sarah Jacoby, and she has a debut children's book that came out a little bit earlier this year called Forever or a Day. And she writes... She did all the writing for the book, and she also did all of the illustrations. Her artwork is incredible. My wife and I have since bought a couple of pieces from her website. Like she has this amazing one from the Nutcracker of the Mouse King. That's amazing.
I remember you showing me. They're just
it's so her artwork is so cool. It looks like everything is watercolors. But she goes into in our conversation the different layers that she uses to create all of these images, and the story itself that this Forever or a Day is really cool. It basically goes into the differences of how a parent and a child sees the passage of time. So for a child, and I remember this when I was a kid too. My grandparents lived in Cleveland Heights, and we lived in Lorraine. So to me, that drive when we'd go on Sundays took forever. And now I'm like, oh no, it's 30 minutes.
Yep.
So and she does a really awesome job with the images and the pictures she draws and the story she tells. It's very heartwarming and sweet. I bought this for my nieces and nephews. So
well, okay, I'll admit this, as I'm in my 30s and I still feel like driving from the west side to the east side of Cleveland.
Yeah, that's actually
it's
fair.
Like an hour.
You guys,
it's not.
Yeah, there is this hilarious delineation in Northeast
Sorry,
Ohio.
I didn't mean to like totally
no,
hijack
you're
that.
Totally fine, and you're right. But there is this hilarious delineation in Northeast Ohio. If you are a Clevelander, you're either a West Sider or an East Sider. And Clevelanders were a lot like people from Chicago who, like, people can live, you know, 50 miles outside of Chicago. They say they're from Chicago. If you live within, like, a 30-minute radius of Cleveland, you're just a Clevelander. But, like, you would think East Side and West Side of Cleveland was, like, Scotland versus Ireland. Like, the amount of people who are like, ugh, you live in the East Side of Cleveland? And it's like they're both wonderful. I went to college in the East Side of Cleveland, and now I live on the West Side of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They're both great. They have their own, but like, and they're not that super different.
They're really not.
But people are like, oh, I'm not going all the way to the East Side. Like a 15-minute drive. So I feel you. I understand. Is there anything else you think people should know about? We already told them how to get a hold of us.
I think that's everything.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this random intro and this interview I did with Sarah Jacoby on the Professional Book Nerds podcast. Hi, everyone. It's Adam again, and I'm excited today to sit down with Sarah Jacoby, who is an award-winning illustrator whose work can be found in the New York Times, Tiny Bop, Travel and Leisure, and several books for both Chronicle and HarperCollins. Her debut picture book, which she both wrote and illustrated, Forever and a Day, is now available through Chronicle. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
So before we started recording, we were already bonding a little bit, so I'm very excited about this, but can you tell people about your book, Forever and a Day? Forever or a day.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's funny. A lot of people have been calling it Forever and a Day, which I totally get.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But it's Forever or a Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory behind it is kind of more question-oriented. So, like, do you remember when you were a kid and you didn't really know what time was?
Yeah.
And sometimes it felt, like, so giant.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it feels so short.
Right.
So it could feel like forever or a day.
I've been thinking about this a lot because you're absolutely right. We used to say in our family, time is like a glass of water. Mm. Have you ever heard anyone say
no.
it this way? Okay, so the way that people describe it is, and by the people, I mean me right now and my family, is life is like a glass of water. And as you get older, the glass gets bigger. And so the water in there stays the same. So what might be a tiny glass when I'm like 7, for example, driving to my grandmother's house took 45 minutes, but for me it felt like it took forever.
Yeah.
And now I'll drive there and it feels like it takes 10 minutes because it's just the amount of time that I understand is a lot greater. But the amount of time, obviously 45 minutes is 45 minutes, but I just, to me, it's such a cool thing to, I wish there was a book like this when I was younger to
that
describe.
Is really cool.
Yeah, and
what do your parents do? Like, how did they?
So my mom.
Why is this a thing?
My mom was a teacher for 39 years,
okay.
And she taught 3rd and 4th grade. Okay. So kind of right, you know, right where people would probably be reading your book. But
yeah.
That's
fascinating. Yeah, my mom. Before I knew what time was, I would ask her like, "How long is it gonna take?"
Mm-hmm.
And she would be like, "Oh, it's an episode of blah blah." So she would use like analogous things to describe time to me.
That's really smart.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh, okay."
So what? Okay, so what were the episodes? I'm just curious, what were the shows?
It was always like Sesame Street.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, watch a Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch a Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in about the art of this book because it's first off beautiful.
Hey.
Your art is incredible.
Cool.
But did you come up with a story that you wanted to write and then design pieces around the story, or did you have these pieces that you'd like? You do a lot of artwork, so if you did you have a piece of art and you're like, oh, that could be a story?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually an illustrator. I went to school for that.
Uh-huh.
So that's a great question. This came out as a poem. First, I was sitting around marveling about this whole thing,
uh-huh.
Time does.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just kind of like bopping around and thinking about like, whoa, this is crazy that it just functions in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way I was writing the poetry, it sort of simplified down to something that sounded like a picture book.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, actually, this would be a really good picture book. But then I was like, I titled this even on my little Google Doc. I was like, this is maybe the worst picture book because it's maybe the most boring idea ever. Because you're like, I don't know, do kids like, would a kid respond to like a philosophical thing
so,
about time?
I don't know. I guess I like to think of it as like think of like Pixar movies, how there's something in there for kids, but then there's so much stuff in there that I'll rewatch, like Toy Story anything.
That's the dream, right?
Yeah.
Put a function on both of those.
Exactly.
Levels.
And to me, that's what this is like. I feel like you can use your book to describe to young readers, like, no, this is how time kind of works. But as a person who might be a bit older, like a parent, you kind of, it's almost like you're more nostalgic. So to me, I think it works.
Yeah, and that's where I actually came up with the visuals for the, there's a journey that, without giving too much away, there's a journey that happens in the book. And when I was sitting down to think about what to draw, I was like, what would be, at first I was like literally doing what I had written, and then I was like, no, what's a better, in what circumstance do you experience like time in the most radical ways? And I was like, a trip. It's the best.
That's absolutely the best.
Yeah, because it's like you're waiting, and then you're enjoying, and it's so fast. And then a trip also does a thing where it like distills into a memory.
Yeah.
Differently than any other way.
Yeah, and I think you look back on trips, at least I do, I feel like I look back on them much more fondly. And like even if you have a wonderful trip, there's those moments of like irritation or sitting around and waiting.
Oh yeah.
And you never remember those after the fact.
I know, vacation's like maybe 80% like, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean.
But then when you look back, it's always like, that was the best.
Yeah. Oh, I'm 32. I was in Arizona for a week hiking, and I'm 32 years old, and I won't remember all the grumpiness, like the bantering I had with my father back and forth. I'll be like, Mom, I remember that sunset we had when we were in Sedona. Like, that's all the things I'm going to remember.
Wow,
so.
That sounds like a great trip.
Arizona is beautiful. I will preach to the heavens. I had never been there before.
It's gorgeous.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so awesome. So, okay, I will admit that when I read a lot of picture books, I find myself sometimes glossing over the pictures just like to get through the story.
Yeah.
But every page of your book is like a work of art.
That's nice.
Oh, it's so, they're so great. So I'm curious, is there something in there, you don't think of anything away, but is there a piece in there that like you're especially like, that's the thing I'm most proud of in here? Like, is there one?
Oh yeah, I have two actually. I love the scenes with all the people. So there's a train scene, and there's a scene of a train station scene.
Kind
of. And I haven't really drawn like that many people at once before.
Right.
And it's kind of an ordeal for illustrators to draw like crowds. Because it's a lot of things to decide.
Yeah, you don't want to get repetitive.
Yeah. And you're like, what does everyone's face look like? So it's like, it's kind of a lot. So I really like, if you get a chance to look at people's faces, I laugh so much. And like, that's my favorite. I don't know. Whenever I can make myself laugh.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I kind of knew I could do, like, pretty stuff. But, like, the humor is the part that I think kind of saves this book from being too overly sentimental.
Yeah.
And it can be really funny.
You mentioned that you don't, like, because with your artwork that you sell or you do for other areas, you don't tend to do a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
It is more so, like, nature and animals and things like that.
Totally.
Okay, so did you ever, like, were you, is there a reason behind that, or is it just that you're more drawn to nature and things of that name? I guess I'm just...
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. You know, when I was thinking about the visuals for the book, I asked a couple people, I was like, I don't know, like, who should live in this book, like, people or creatures?
Yeah.
Because it could have been, like, a book about bears.
Oh, yeah. I would read a book about bears.
Yeah, and everyone I talked to was like, no, definitely people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why? And they're like, it's just such a human story.
Absolutely.
You gotta have people in there. So I was like, all right, here I go.
So I was gonna say, so I know like a lot of, there's always a joke for people who aren't like professional artists. Like they'll say like, I can't draw feet. Or, like, I can't draw hands. Like, so there's always a reason for them. Is there a reason that you don't normally draw people? Other than the fact that you have to come up with different faces all the time?
Oh, yeah. I think it is a choice. Like, it's a real representation thing. Because it is a lot of, like, well, what kind of people are going to be in your book? Like, who's going to be in your book? And it really kind of... I think you can surprise yourself with an artist if you see, like, oh, I'm only drawing, like, this set of people. Like, you can be like, oh, whoa, is this how I see the world?
Yeah.
And so I was like... Oh, I'm very pleasantly surprised by how I see the world.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you brought that up. I've literally, we talk to a ton of diverse authors all the time on our podcast, and it's like very, for me it's very important as like a middle class white person. I always am like, okay, it's not, it wouldn't be fair for me just to find other white people to talk to all the time. But that's so interesting. As a, I've never thought about it from an illustration standpoint. It's like, okay, I can't draw 50 people and they all look 5'8" and white with short brown hair. Like,
yeah, I do think illustration or like picture drawing for people is a kind of an extension of how you see things.
Yeah.
So it's scary when you have to like commit to your vision.
Yeah, well, and then you also, I imagine, just you have to be careful, especially when you're drawing like other nationalities and things, about like, okay, I don't want to make a caricature of this person.
Right, and sometimes you don't know you're doing it, and so there's a lot more to like.
So were you ever like, were you showing these pieces to like your editors or things, being like, is this okay? Like, did that ever come up for you where you're just like, what do you guys think?
Kind of. So the main character is kind of gender neutral. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
It can be.
Yeah.
But it is like, in my mind, it could be a girl or a boy. Mm-hmm. And I call, we, there's no names in the book, but we met and I ended up calling them Sam.
Uh-huh. That's a perfect middle. That's a perfect middle ground name.
Yeah, we're like, what's Sam doing right now? So to me, like, I think there was a lot of conversation about like who's included in this book, because a lot of for kids' book in particular, you want to be as inclusive as possible.
Right.
So especially right now.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
So like that was really important for me. To exist,
yeah.
To have like a sort of younger child that could be either or.
I love that.
Yeah.
But you mentioned calling him Sam. That's really one of my best friends who actually works at the company that I do. She comes on the podcast all the time. She's pregnant, and they are purposely not finding out the sex of the baby until it's born. So they're just the place, they have names for boys and girls, but their placeholder is just baby Sam. It's just,
wow,
that's literally what they use. They're just like, yeah, so Sam is the size of a grapefruit today, and then all these things. Yeah.
I learned about gender parties like a year ago, and it's still blowing my mind.
I feel like you can do it right, and then you can do them totally wrong. Like, yeah. It has to be a fun, creative way.
Yeah.
Or cake. I'm always okay with the cake.
I'm great with cake.
Yeah.
Cake, I'll celebrate.
Yeah, that works too. Okay, so this is your first picture book, but you have illustrated for other picture books, correct?
Yeah, just one, though.
Just one?
Okay. Yeah.
What was that experience like? Did it? Was there a difference for you? I guess as an illustrator of someone else's work, how did that feel? Like, was there back and forth with the author? Was there any conversation about it? Did you feel like responsibility to their words? And it's interesting to do both.
It is like a totally different operation.
Yeah,
I'm actually working on like 3 books right now, and they're all for different people. And it ranges from someone I talk to kind of a lot, and then to someone who I do not talk to at all. And it used to be in publishing world, like they kind of
kept them separate. Yeah.
Yeah. But the person I talk to a lot kind of is a very experienced author.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very like excited and open to what I would bring to it.
Yeah.
Which I think is like the key if you are going to be in conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of maybe a limiting way to do it, when you're just like, why aren't you drawing this? This is my vision of the book. Why aren't you doing exactly my vision of the book?
Right.
And you're like, well, this is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so did you think you went through more iterations of pieces of your own work or of theirs to try and get their words right?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. I would say with my own, I'm a little more, cautious and self-conscious of, whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel a little freer with other people.
Interesting.
Yeah, I bet people feel differently.
I was just gonna say, I feel like that would be the other way around for me.
Yeah.
Just because.
You think it would be really
weird? I feel like I would feel a lot of pressure with someone else's words.
That makes sense.
I don't want you to go back to your house and be like, oh man, Adam was right. I feel a lot of pressure now. But like, I feel like for me, if they're my words, I can selfishly be like, no, this is what it should look like. But if it's someone else's, I feel like I'd be super nervous just to hear, like, after the book came out, like, hear an interview with them where they're like, yeah, I do love the illustrations, but
you know. My friends and I have this, like, some illustrator friends of mine have this joke called, like, do you love it, where you show like the final product and you're like, do you love it, and you just see the person's face fall.
Oh, that's amazing.
No. But at this point, I think I'm at a place where I'm like, all right, they're asking me to do the visual work, so I'm assuming there's a trust there.
Right.
And they're like, I don't want to have to worry about whether I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I just want to bring what I can bring.
Yeah.
And I hope they do. That's, you love it.
Yeah. So how would you describe your artistic style?
Ooh.
That's a very, I know that's just like an industry, like, magazine-y question, but, like, how would you describe what, like, your work? Because it's so different. I was gushing before we started recording about your other stuff that I love, but, like, how would you describe it?
Yeah, I would call it painterly, textured.
These are amazing words.
Whimsical would be another way to describe it.
Yes.
That would be my favorite. Not like wacky whimsical.
Yeah, not like Seussian whimsical.
Yes, yeah.
Like fairy tale whimsical, maybe,
yeah.
Kinda.
I would call it feminine as well. I would I don't know, a lot of dudes like it, so.
I mean, I like it, but I also am my wife always gets mad about, because she, sometimes something will happen about like a man being horrible, which men on the whole usually are. And she'll, well, I know, but she'll say something about like something that happened and she'll be really angry. And I'll be like, you're right, that's horrible. That's so unfair. And she'll look at me, she's like, sometimes I just wish you were less of a feminine, like so less of a feminist so that I could be mad and like argue with us. I was like, I'm not going to argue with you when guys are terrible. But so maybe that's why I wouldn't say feminine for your work, just because I didn't pick it up on it.
Yeah.
So
how would you describe it?
Oh,
you're an
man.
Outsider.
Okay,
yeah.
That's all right. Well, I like whimsical, but to be fair, that's like my favorite word. So
fantastic.
Yeah. Incredible. I think I like textured. I think that because you go through like layers when you're designing it, right?
Yeah. Okay. I do a watercolor layer.
Yeah.
And I'll like Photoshop a little and then pastel a little and kind of mingle it all together.
I think I would say not like if there was a word to describe like soft edges, like cause to me, like
that.
Soft
like,
focus.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, almost like soft focus, where there's no, at least to me, it doesn't look like there's a lot of, like, hard lines.
Yeah.
Like
I pay a lot of attention to edges.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so, when you Photoshop stuff, it's very easy to, well, it's not, well, take that back, not very easy, but it's like, there's a tool, a specific tool that you use
mm-hmm.
that creates a hard edge. So
yeah.
It's a lot of work to work on, but
I
just
love it. I do not like hard edges. They bother me. I have lots of tattoos, and I'm always like, just no hard edges on things. I want it to look like it's part of it. So, what artists inspire you? Like, what are the ones that you are big fans of?
Oh man, I get inspired all the time. But recently, I was looking at this woman, Marsha Brown.
Mm-hmm.
She did this book. She did a lot of like Hans Christian Andersen.
Okay.
Very like smudgy, very pastel-y, little blotchy.
Uh huh.
Pauline Bynes did the Lord of the Rings, like, old-school covers.
Yes.
Like, very colorful, like, pencil-y.
Mm-hmm.
She's really cool. There's a guy, Brian Wildsmith.
Okay.
He's old-timey, too, and
mm-hmm.
he is, like, color pencil everywhere, lots of mixed media.
Uh-huh.
Like, very exciting, very beautiful, rich. Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Is that enough?
No, that's plenty. Yeah,
yeah,
I put you on the spot, too. So you work in the art and, like, design field, but you didn't study that, right?
Not in college.
Okay, so what did you study first?
English and film.
Okay, so how does one go from English and film to design as a lifestyle?
Oh, man, so many U-turns.
So have you always been like artistic? Like, always been someone who likes to draw and paint, things like that?
Yeah, very humanities oriented.
Okay.
I think I'm similar to a lot of like illustrator librarians.
Uh-huh.
I would say both of those briefs tend to come from like very mixed backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so when I left with an English degree
mm-hmm.
in college, kind of reviewed my choices and I was like, well, I don't want to be a lawyer. And I found myself doing a lot of like design work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is something I could tolerate in terms of like having to do every day.
Yeah.
And so there was a year in there where I was like, applied for poetry and graphic design.
Yeah.
Master degrees. You could,
mm-hmm.
I was just kind of in two directions at once.
Yeah.
Illustration ended up, I ended up finding some friends that were illustrators, and yeah. I didn't know it was a field until like I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
And once I figured it out, I was like,
I totally understand. I went to graduate school for sports management,
yeah.
And now I host a literary podcast, yeah. So not exactly, it's one of those like not all who wander are lost situations,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, I was definitely lost for a while, but I got somewhere. But
yeah, I was going to say, yeah. It all turned out just fantastically for you. I also saw, I think it was on your website, that you said your parents aren't in the artistic field, but you would consider them very creative.
Oh, totally.
Okay, so can you kind of expand upon that? Because that's how I think of my parents as well. But can you kind of expand upon that idea a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, my dad ran his own telecommunications business.
Mm-hmm.
So he, as an entrepreneur, I feel you have to be like a creative type.
Yeah.
And like, just generally speaking, his tastes are very like, he loves theater and jazz and reading and uh-huh. poetry, and he was always like having that on in the house.
Yes.
And my mom is like a technical admin.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, so she has a square job, but then when she's at home, she's very like, very into reading, cooking, and
uh-huh.
like needlepoint. That kind of
yeah.
thing. So yeah, neither of them are technically.
That's so funny. Cooking is my, I'm a quote unquote writer. I feel like everyone who works at Overdrive is a writer of some fashion. But cooking is my creative outlet. Like when I see things like your book and your art, I almost get like sick. It's so, I can't even imagine doing a piece like that, let alone being able to execute it. I also am terrible at like even stick figures, so I
you're my favorite kind of artist, actually.
Oh, someone who has no artistic ability,
yeah,
whatsoever.
Yeah, who's like hand is stunted at five is like
yeah.
my favorite thing.
Oh yeah, that's about it. Like I would do, like if I was gonna draw a picture of like quote unquote Jesus, it would be like a stick figure with a little halo on top.
Oh,
it's
perfect.
Like there he is, it's Jesus.
It.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so towards the end of our podcast we like to ask nine, they used to be rapid fire, they never are.
Okay.
Because tangents.
Yeah.
We call them the Nerd Nine because we like alliteration.
Cool.
So the first one is, what is the last book you finished reading?
Finished reading.
Or are currently reading.
I'm currently reading a book by Gordon Lish.
Okay.
He is an adult literary fiction guy.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote a book about Truman Capote. It's like...
Of Truman Capote.
Yeah, it's a weird book.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense.
Yes, but it's about the mind of the bad guy.
Truman Capote is very into that.
Yeah.
That's really good. Do you have a favorite place to read?
Man, I do. And it's usually like in the sun in a corner of my house.
Mm-hmm.
But in truth, I am in bed usually.
Yep. I tell everyone I feel like I fall asleep all the time in my bed. It's like I have to like avoid my bed to read.
That's the theory, but then in practice I'm always
what is, do you remember like the book that made you fall in love with reading when you were a kid?
Could I catch it?
Yeah,
I love Gary Paulson.
Yeah, and like Brian's Winter and
yes,
the whole thing.
Oh my god,
love Hatchet.
Yeah, my parents also read me Narnia, so like that was,
yeah. Man, I haven't even yeah. said that in a long time.
Yeah, that was one I loved.
Oh, so good. Okay, what's one place you'd like to travel that you have not yet been to?
South America. Mm,
that's really good.
Oh, no, wait. India. I really want to go there.
Like
it's so
that.
Far.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that'd have to be like one of those 2 week. Like, you can't. It's like
you
going
to
Australia.
Bop over to India.
Yeah, it's like going to Australia. You can't be like, I'm going to go for 4 days.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Do you have a favorite holiday to celebrate?
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Food, no, don't talk about presents.
Yep.
All these. Are you a coffee person or a tea person?
Coffee.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Favorite food?
Thai. I was going for
going
sushi.
To sushi.
And I was like, actually, I'm a vegetarian, so I like have one thing that I eat, so I can't.
You and me both,
yeah.
Actually. I could eat Thai, though.
All day.
Every
Give me
meal.
Time.
Every yeah. meal. And then if you could have dinner with one person, alive or dead, who would you pick?
Yo, that is not a rapid fire.
I know. That's why I always get yelled at.
One person alive or dead?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I've let people pick, like, a few if they want.
Mm. This is a surprise to me, but, like, Jim Henson seems like a good dude.
That's literally mine. That's my pick every single. I'm obsessed with Muppets.
Oh, I'm surprised by myself. He's not really at the top of my mind.
So here's why I pick him, because my other one is always, I would consider Dr. Seuss, because I'm a huge Dr. Seuss fan, huge Jim Henson fan. I have a Dr. Seuss quote tattooed on my body.
Whoa.
But he had some stuff that was not super great about him. And, like, by all accounts, Jim Henson seemed like a borderline perfect human and just, like, so whimsical and wonderful. So, we are kindred spirits. Okay, last question for you. Mm-hmm. What do you hope readers take away from reading Forever and a Day?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I hope they take away a sense of wonder. Ooh, that sounded corny.
No, that was really good.
I do think it would be nice if that's what it had.
Perfect. Yeah. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from Overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.